A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one. He's asking about Unsloth, what it actually is, why it's become so popular for fine-tuning language models, and what makes it different from the other tools out there. He mentioned he's been seeing it pop up everywhere in open-source circles and wants to know if the hype is real, which, honestly, it's one of those things where I kept seeing the name and thinking, alright, what's actually going on here?
It's a perfect example of something that seems like it came out of nowhere, but was actually the result of some really clever engineering decisions stacking up over time. Also, quick note, DeepSeek V4 Pro is writing our script today. So, if anything comes out especially coherent, we know who to thank.
Though I reserve the right to claim credit for the good lines retroactively.
You always do, but back to Unsloth. The core thing to understand is that it's a library designed specifically for fine-tuning large language models, and it's built on top of the Hugging Face ecosystem. It's not a standalone framework from scratch. It integrates with things like the Transformers library, P for parameter-efficient fine-tuning, bits and bytes for quantization, and what it does is dramatically reduce the memory footprint and speed up the training process.
We're talking about making fine-tuning more efficient. Lower barrier to entry, less compute required.
And the numbers are genuinely striking. The Unsloth team has published benchmarks showing that for certain models, Llama 3, Mistral, Quinn, you can get up to 2.2 times faster training and use around 50 to 70% less memory compared to standard Hugging Face implementations. We're talking about taking something that would require multiple high-end GPUs and making it feasible on a single consumer card.
That's a big claim. What's actually making that possible? Because if it were just better defaults or minor tweaks, someone would have done it already.
Right, and that's where it gets interesting from a technical standpoint. The primary innovations are in what they call manual backpropagation kernels and optimized attention mechanisms. Let me break that down. In standard fine-tuning, when you're training a model, a huge amount of memory goes into storing intermediate activations. These are the outputs of each layer that get held in memory, so the backpropagation pass can compute gradients. What Unsloth does is implement custom Triton kernels, Triton being a programming language for writing GPU kernels that recompute certain values on the fly rather than storing them.
It's a trade-off. Recompute instead of store, which costs a little extra computation, but saves enormous amounts of memory.
That's exactly the trade-off, and it's a smart one because memory bandwidth is the real bottleneck for most fine-tuning workloads, not raw compute. GPUs have gotten incredibly fast at floating-point operations, but moving data in and out of memory is still relatively slow. Unsloth's approach shifts the burden toward computation, which modern GPUs handle easily, and away from memory usage, which is the scarce resource.
I'm picturing a chef who keeps prepping ingredients from scratch instead of filling the counter with mise en place bowls. Takes a few extra seconds each time, but you can cook in a much smaller kitchen.
That's a really good analogy. And I don't say that lightly because you know how I feel about analogies.
I'm as surprised as you are.
Here's the thing. It's not just one trick. There's a whole stack of optimizations. They've got custom R implementations, rotary position embeddings that are hand-optimized. They've rewritten the attention forward and backward passes. They handle quantization, aware training in a way that's much more efficient than the standard approach. And they do all of this while maintaining full accuracy. The models you fine-tune with Unsloth produce identical outputs to what you'd get with the standard pipeline. Same loss curves, same evaluation metrics.
That last part seems important. A lot of optimization tools give you speed at the cost of some degradation, and you have to decide if the trade-off is worth it.
Right, and Unsloth's pitch is that there is no trade-off on quality. The outputs are mathematically equivalent. They're very explicit about this in their documentation. They're not approximating or cutting corners on the math. They're just doing the same math more efficiently. Daniel and Michael, the two main developers behind Unsloth, have been very careful about this. They've published detailed technical blog posts walking through exactly what their kernels do differently and why the results match bit for bit.
Daniel and Michael, not our Daniel.
Not our Daniel, no. Daniel Hahn and Michael? And I should mention that Unsloth started as a project by Daniel Hahn specifically. He was working on fine-tuning models and kept running into memory limitations, so he started digging into the underlying PyTorch code and realized there was a lot of low-hanging fruit for optimization. The project got traction very quickly because it solved a real pain point that pretty much everyone in the open-source fine-tuning community was experiencing.
When did this actually start gaining momentum? Because I feel like it went from something I'd never heard of to being referenced in every other project within maybe 6 months.
The initial release was in late 2023, but the real inflection point came in early 2024 when they added support for the Llama 3 models and for QLORA, quantized low-rank adaptation, which is the technique that lets you fine-tune on a single GPU by keeping the base model in 4-bit precision while training small adapter matrices. That combination, Unsloth plus QLORA, became the standard recipe for anyone wanting to fine-tune a large model without access to a data center.
The popularity is partly about technical merit, and partly about being in the right place at the right time. The whole open-source fine-tuning ecosystem was exploding. Everyone was trying to create their own versions of models, and suddenly there's this tool that makes it 2 times faster and fit on hardware you might actually own.
It's not just the speed and memory savings. The developer experience is good. They provide free Google Colab notebooks that you can open and run immediately. You pick your model, upload your dataset, and start training. They've got detailed guides for different model families, Llama, Mistral, Phi, Gemma, Quinn, with specific recommendations for each one. The documentation is clear. It lowers the barrier in a way that goes beyond just the technical optimizations.
I've noticed they also have a pretty active community. The GitHub repository has something like 17,000 stars at this point, which for a relatively niche tool is substantial.
More than 19,000 now, actually. And there's an active Discord community where people share their fine-tuned models and help each other troubleshoot. The maintainers are very responsive. It's one of those open-source projects where you can file an issue and actually get a human response within hours, not weeks.
That's rarer than it should be. So let me play skeptic for a moment. If Unsloth is this good, why isn't it just the default? Why hasn't Hugging Face integrated these optimizations directly into their Transformers library?
And I think there are a few reasons. One is that these optimizations are model-specific. The custom kernels for Llama's attention mechanism aren't the same as the ones for Mistral or Phi. Maintaining that across every model architecture would be a significant engineering burden for Hugging Face, which has to support hundreds of models. Unsloth can focus on the most popular ones and optimize them deeply.
It's a focused versus general purpose trade-off.
The second reason is that these are fairly aggressive optimizations that require deep understanding of GPU architecture and Triton kernel programming. It's specialized work. The Hugging Face Transformers library prioritizes readability and maintainability over squeezing out every last bit of performance. Unsloth is willing to write code that's harder to understand but runs faster. And the third reason is simply that the field moves fast. By the time Hugging Face could integrate and thoroughly test these optimizations, the model architectures might have changed. Unsloth can iterate more quickly.
That makes sense. And I suppose there's also the reality that Hugging Face has been focused on other things. Their enterprise offerings, their inference endpoints, the whole ecosystem play. Optimizing fine-tuning for the open-source hobbyist isn't necessarily their top priority.
That's exactly the gap Unsloth filled. It's worth noting that Unsloth isn't just for hobbyists, though. There are companies using it in production. The performance gains matter whether you're fine-tuning on a single RTX 4090 or a cluster of H100s. If you can train 2 times faster, that's either half the compute cost or twice the experimentation velocity. Both are valuable.
Let's talk about what you can actually do with it. Daniel was asking specifically about fine-tuning use cases. What kinds of things are people building?
The most common use case is instruction fine-tuning. You take a base model like Llama, 3.18 billion parameters, you feed it a data set of instruction response pairs, and you train it to follow instructions better. With Unsloth and QLORA, you can do this on a single consumer GPU in a few hours. The resulting model will be much better at following the specific kind of instructions you trained it on, coding tasks, creative writing, customer support, whatever your dataset covers.
This is where the parameter efficient part matters. You're not retraining the whole model.
With LoRA, low-rank adaptation, you're only training small matrices that get added to the model's attention layers. The base weights stay frozen, so you're training maybe 1% of the total parameters. That's why it fits in memory. And Unsloth makes this whole process smoother by handling the integration between the quantized base model, the LoRA adapters, and the training loop in an optimized way.
What about domain-specific fine-tuning? Taking a general model and making it an expert in, say, medical literature or legal documents.
That's the other major use case. And Unsloth supports continued pre-training as well, which is where you don't use instruction pairs but just feed the model a corpus of domain-specific text and let it learn the patterns and vocabulary of that domain. People have used this to create models that understand specific programming languages better, or that can work with documents in particular formats. The medical and legal examples are very common. There's a whole ecosystem of domain-adapted models that were fine-tuned using Unsloth.
I'm curious about the quantization aspect. You mentioned 4-bit quantization. For someone who's heard the term but doesn't know the mechanics, what's actually happening there?
Normally, the weights in a neural network are stored as 16-bit floating-point numbers. That's the standard for training and inference. But it turns out you can compress those weights down to 4 bits per parameter. That's a 4x reduction in memory, without losing much accuracy, because the important information is in the relative magnitudes of the weights, not their precise values. The model still works, it just takes up a quarter of the space in memory. The catch is that you can't train in 4-bit precision directly. The gradients need higher precision to be meaningful. So what QLoRA does is keep the base model quantized to 4 bits for the forward pass, when the model is generating outputs. But when it's time to update the LoRA adapters, it temporarily dequantizes the relevant weights back to higher precision, computes the gradients, and then requantizes. It's a clever hack that gives you most of the memory savings of quantization with most of the training quality of full precision.
Unsloth optimizes that dequantization and requantization process.
The standard implementation has a lot of overhead from constantly converting between precision formats. Unsloth's custom kernels handle this more efficiently, which is part of where the speedup comes from.
We've established that Unsloth is technically impressive and practically useful. But I want to zoom out for a moment. What does the popularity of a tool like this tell us about where the AI development landscape is heading?
I think it tells us a few things. First, that fine-tuning is not going away. There was a period where people thought prompt engineering and retrieval augmented generation would make fine-tuning obsolete. That hasn't happened. Fine-tuning remains the best way to get a model to adopt a specific style, to internalize domain knowledge, or to follow a particular instruction format reliably. And as models get better at being fine-tuned, as they're designed with fine-tuning in mind, the results get more impressive. Second, the barrier to entry keeps dropping. 2 years ago, fine-tuning a 7 billion parameter model required expensive hardware and serious expertise. Now a motivated hobbyist with a gaming GPU and a weekend can do it. That's a massive democratization. It means we're going to see an explosion of specialized models, each tuned for specific tasks or domains. We're already seeing this on Hugging Face. There are thousands of fine-tuned variants of every major model.
Which creates its own challenges. Discoverability, quality control, knowing which fine-tuned model to trust for a given task.
The curation problem becomes harder, the easier creation becomes. But that's a good problem to have, honestly. I'd rather live in a world where too many people can create useful models than too few. Third, and this is more speculative, but I think tools like Unsloth are going to push the major AI labs to reconsider how they release models. If anyone can fine-tune a model cheaply, then safety through restricted access becomes harder to maintain. The open-weight model ecosystem is essentially unstoppable at this point. Unsloth didn't create that reality, but it accelerated it.
That's an interesting point. The alignment and safety conversation often presumes that model capabilities can be controlled at the point of distribution. But if fine-tuning is this accessible, then once the weights are out there, the cat's out of the bag.
We've seen this play out. Meta releases Llama with certain safety fine-tuning, and within days people have fine-tuned away the refusals. Unsloth made that faster and easier. Now, I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing. There are legitimate reasons to want an uncensored model for certain applications, but it does complicate the governance picture.
It also means that the responsibility for model behavior shifts downstream. If I fine-tune a model to do something harmful, is that on me, or on the base model provider, or on the tool that made fine-tuning easy?
That's a hard question, and I don't think we have settled answers yet. The legal and regulatory frameworks are still catching up, but practically speaking, the tooling is out there and it's not going back in the box.
Let's bring it back to the practical side. If Daniel or someone like him, technically proficient working in AI, wants to experiment with fine-tuning, wants to get started with Unsloth, what does that actually look like?
It's remarkably straightforward. The Unsloth team provides free Colab notebooks that are essentially turnkey. You open the notebook, you select your base model from a dropdown. They support Llama 3.1, Mistral, Phi-3, Gemma 2, Qwen 2.5, and several others. You upload your dataset in a standard format, usually JSON-L with instruction and response fields. You set a few hyperparameters, or just use the defaults, which are already well-tuned. And you hit Run.
How long does a typical fine-tuning run take?
Depends on the model size and dataset size. For a 7 billion parameter model with a dataset of a few thousand examples, using QLORA on a single A100 GPU, you're looking at maybe 2 to 3 hours. On a consumer card like an RTX 4090, maybe 4 to 6 hours. If you're using the free Colab tier with a T4 GPU, it'll be longer. Maybe 8 to 12 hours for the same job, but it'll still complete. That's the thing that was impossible before Unsloth. The free Colab GPU simply didn't have enough memory to fine-tune a 7 billion parameter model. Now it does. If you're using the free Colab, it's free. If you're using Colab Pro with better GPUs, it's about $10 a month. If you're running on your own hardware, it's just electricity. Compared to renting cloud instances for fine-tuning, which could easily run hundreds of dollars per experiment, this is essentially zero marginal cost.
That's the kind of economics that changes behavior. When experimentation is free or nearly free, you do more of it. You try things you wouldn't have tried otherwise.
That's exactly what we're seeing. The number of fine-tuned models on Hugging Face has exploded. People are fine-tuning models for incredibly specific use cases. A model that's good at generating knitting patterns. A model that understands the rules of a specific board game. A model that writes in the style of a particular author. These are things that wouldn't have been worth spending hundreds of dollars on, but at zero cost, why not?
There's something almost playful about that. The fine-tuning community has this hobbyist energy that reminds me of early web development or the early days of mobile apps. People building things just because they can, sharing them with each other, iterating rapidly.
Unsloth leaned into that community aspect from the beginning. They've got a leaderboard where people share their fine-tuned models, they run competitions, they highlight interesting projects. It's not just a tool, it's a community. That's a big part of why it took off the way it did.
I want to ask about the limitations, because nothing is all upside. What are the things Unsloth doesn't do well, or the situations where you'd want to use something else?
First, Unsloth is focused on causal language models, the kind that generate text autoregressively. If you're working with encoder-decoder models like T5, or with vision models, or with embedding models, Unsloth isn't designed for that. It's very specifically optimized for the Llama-style decoder, only architecture and its close relatives.
It's not a general-purpose fine-tuning framework.
Second, Unsloth's optimizations are most impactful for single GPU or small-scale setups. If you're doing large-scale distributed training across dozens or hundreds of GPUs, the memory savings from Unsloth's kernels become less relevant because you already have abundant memory, and the custom kernels may not integrate smoothly with distributed training frameworks like DeepSpeed or F.
Full sharding data, parallel, for anyone who hasn't memorized the acronym SOUP.
Third, there's a dependency risk. Unsloth sits on top of several other libraries, Transformers, P. When those libraries update, Unsloth needs to update too. There have been periods where a new version of Transformers would break Unsloth compatibility for a few days until the maintainers could push a fix. It's not a huge issue, but it's something to be aware of if you're building a production pipeline.
The classic open source dependency chain problem.
And fourth, the optimizations are somewhat model version specific. When a new model architecture comes out, say Llama 4, with a significantly different attention mechanism, Unsloth needs to write new custom kernels for it. That takes time. So there's always a lag between a new model release and full Unsloth support.
How long a lag are we talking?
For the major releases, they've been impressively fast. Llama 3.1 support was available within days. The Unsloth team clearly prioritizes the models that the community is most excited about. But for more obscure architectures, you might be waiting longer or might never get optimized support.
Let's talk about the business side for a moment. Unsloth is open source. The core library is free. How do they sustain themselves?
They have a few revenue streams. They offer a pro version with additional features, things like support for longer context windows, advanced logging and experiment tracking, priority support. They also offer enterprise licenses for companies that want to use Unsloth in production with guaranteed support and SLAs, and they've raised some venture funding. In late 2024, they announced a seed round, though I don't recall the exact amount.
The classic open core model, free for individuals and small teams, paid for enterprises that need more.
It seems to be working. They've been able to hire additional developers and expand their model support. The pace of development has actually accelerated since the funding, which is a good sign. A lot of open source projects take funding and then slow down as the founders get distracted. Unsloth seems to have avoided that trap so far.
I'm curious about the name, by the way. It's unusual.
I believe it's a play on sloth, the animal, and the idea of being not slow, fast instead of slow.
I have complicated feelings about this.
I was wondering when you'd pick up on that.
I mean, I appreciate the sentiment. Speed is useful, but there's an implication that slothness is a problem to be solved. I'd argue that deliberation has its place.
Are you saying the library should be called Undonkey? Because I can be pretty deliberate when I want to be.
No, I'm saying the name is fine. I'm just noting the cultural stereotype. Sloths are not actually lazy, you know. We're energy efficient. There's a difference.
I'm not going to debate sloth metabolism with you on air, but I will note that the Unsloth team chose the name specifically to signal speed, and it worked. It's memorable. It communicates the value proposition instantly.
Let's talk about where this is all heading. You mentioned that fine-tuning isn't going away, but the techniques are evolving. What's next after Unsloth? What's the next bottleneck that needs solving?
I think the next frontier is data preparation. Right now, creating a high-quality fine-tuning dataset is still a lot of manual work. You need to curate examples, format them correctly, ensure diversity and coverage. There are tools emerging to help with this, using large models to generate synthetic training data, for instance, but it's still more art than science. I wouldn't be surprised if the next big open-source tool in this space is focused on dataset creation rather than training efficiency.
We've solved the compute bottleneck, but the data bottleneck remains.
Partially solved the compute bottleneck, I should say. It's still not trivial to fine-tune a 70 billion parameter model at home. But for the models that most people are actually using, the 7 to 13 billion parameter range, the compute problem is largely solved. The data problem is where the real work happens now.
The evaluation problem. Knowing whether your fine-tuned model is actually better than the base model or better than someone else's fine-tune is still surprisingly hard.
The standard benchmarks don't capture the kinds of improvements that fine-tuning typically produces. If you fine-tune a model to write better Python docstrings, there's no standard benchmark for that. You have to do manual evaluation or build your own eval set. That's a lot of work, and it's a barrier to systematic improvement.
It's almost like we've democratized the ability to create models faster than we've democratized the ability to evaluate them.
And it creates a quality problem. There are thousands of fine-tuned models out there, and most of them are probably worse than the base model they were derived from. Catastrophic forgetting is still a real issue. People fine-tune on a narrow dataset, and the model loses general capabilities. Without good evaluation, you might not even notice until users start complaining.
Does Unsloth do anything to help with that? Evaluation or quality assurance?
Not directly, no. They provide some guidance on hyperparameters and best practices to avoid catastrophic forgetting, but the evaluation piece is left to the user. It's not really in scope for what Unsloth is trying to be. They're a training efficiency tool, not a model quality tool.
Which is fair. Every tool has its scope, but it does mean that the ecosystem as a whole has a gap.
Someone will fill that gap eventually. Maybe they already are. The AI tooling landscape moves so fast that by the time this episode goes out, there might be three new evaluation frameworks I haven't heard of yet.
All right, let's do a quick recap for someone who's been listening and wants the headline takeaways. What is Unsloth in a sentence?
Unsloth is an open-source library that makes fine-tuning large language models 2 to 3 times faster and cuts memory usage by 50 to 70%, primarily through custom GPU kernels and optimized attention implementations, while maintaining identical output quality to standard methods.
Why is it so popular?
Because it solves a real pain point. Fine-tuning was too slow and required too much expensive hardware, and it does so with a developer experience that's pleasant. Free notebooks, good documentation, active community. It arrived at exactly the right moment when open-source fine-tuning was exploding.
What should someone know before jumping in?
Know that it's focused on decoder-only language models, Llama, Mistral, Qwen, and similar architectures. Know that it works best for single GPU or small-scale setups. Know that there's a dependency chain that occasionally breaks. And know that the real challenge in fine-tuning isn't the training anymore, it's the data preparation and evaluation.
That's a solid summary. And now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
The average cumulus cloud weighs approximately 1.1 million pounds, roughly the same as 100 elephants. Yet it floats effortlessly because the weight is distributed across millions of tiny water droplets spread over a vast volume of air.
If you're looking to get started with Unsloth, the practical path is straightforward. Go to the Unsloth website, pick the Colab notebook for the model you want to fine-tune, and follow the instructions. You can have a fine-tuned model running in an afternoon. The free tier works. If you want more speed, Colab Pro gives you access to better GPUs for $10 a month. Start with a small dataset, a few hundred examples, and iterate from there.
Join the Discord community if you get stuck. The signal-to-noise ratio is surprisingly good for a Discord server. People will actually help you debug your training runs. The maintainers are active there too. It's one of the more helpful open-source communities I've encountered.
One thing I'd add, and this is more philosophy than technical advice, is to have a clear idea of what you're trying to accomplish before you start fine-tuning. The technology is accessible enough now that it's tempting to just throw data at a model and see what happens. But the best fine-tunes come from careful dataset curation and a specific, well-defined objective. Garbage in, garbage out applies just as much here as anywhere else in computing.
That's well said, and it connects back to the evaluation point. If you can't clearly state what success looks like for your fine-tuned model, you're not ready to start training. Define your evaluation criteria first, then build your dataset to target those criteria, then train.
The other thing worth mentioning is that fine-tuning isn't always the right solution. Sometimes prompt engineering or R-Drival augmented generation is a better fit for the problem. Fine-tuning is best when you need the model to internalize a style, a tone, or a domain-specific reasoning pattern. If you just need the model to access specific documents or follow a simple instruction format, there are lighter-weight approaches that might work better.
And Unsloth itself is agnostic to that decision. It's a tool for when you've already decided that fine-tuning is the right approach. It doesn't help you make that decision, and it shouldn't. Different tools for different jobs.
Looking forward, I think the thing I'm most excited about is what happens when fine-tuning becomes not just cheap, but continuous. Imagine a model that fine-tunes itself throughout the day based on user interactions, getting better at your specific needs in real time. We're not there yet. The training process is still batch-oriented and takes hours, but the trajectory is clear. Unsloth is one step along that path.
Continuous fine-tuning is a fascinating research area. There are challenges around catastrophic forgetting and stability, but people are making progress. And when it works, the experience is magical. The model just gets better the more you use it, without anyone having to explicitly curate a dataset or kick off a training run.
It's a good note to end on. The tools keep getting better, the barriers keep dropping, and the interesting part is what people do with that capability. Thanks to Hilbert Flumingtop for producing, as always.
This has been My Weird Prompts. You can find us at myweirdprompts.com, and if you enjoyed this episode, leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts.
See you next time.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go.
From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep, the stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close, from sloth, from man, from long-eared host. Until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.